Williams, and I want to welcome you to the Love and Lordship podcast with Greg Williams. This message is about building every relationship on the love and lordship of Jesus Christ. For more from Greg and the Love and Lordship ministry, visit loveandlordship.com. Thanks for joining us, and remember, it's all about Jesus' love and lordship. And now, here's Greg with this week's message.
Welcome to Love and Lordship. I'm your host, Greg Williams, and I just got to tell you, God is so faithful. And that is the message of Christmas. And I want to thank those of you who have been faithful to in prayer and support as you're coming on board to the Love and Lordship ministry and message here. I pray that you are choosing, listen to what I'm saying here, I pray that you are choosing to experience a very merry Christmas season in Christ. I got to shout out something else too, though, because remember last week I had Charlie Brown. This week it's all the nativity and all the Christmas story on my tie, okay? So I just got to make sure you understand that. I'm a Christmas nut, okay? To help us do this very merry Christmas experience, to help us do this, we're going to continue with our Christmas series. Last week we hit on Christmas memories, those of our own life and the memory of the first Christmas. This week we're actually going to talk about the first Christmas. And it's entitled Christmas Stories. Listen to this from Luke 2, 18 through 20. All who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen was exactly as they had been told. Now there's a lot in those few verses. Because as we remember the story, and we're going to break it down here a little bit, but I'm not going to go to the usual suspects, okay? I'm going to hit on those shepherds because I think we've got a lot to learn. There really are so many stories, scripture and modern day, but I want to stay focused on that very first Christmas. After all, we just read, it must have been really something. I'm not going to dwell, as I said, on those main characters. Most of us know them. If not anything more but name. So I'm going to give you a brief recap of those characters just in a couple of minutes here. From Matthew 1, 18 through 23, that first Christmas. Mary and Joseph are engaged. Mary is found to be pregnant. They're not married yet. Joseph chooses to privately divorce Mary, which was a very honorable thing to do. I think God knew who he was choosing, right? Because the other two options he had were to exile her from the country or have her stoned. Then the prophecy of a virgin birth is fulfilled and the name of God's Son is revealed. The Messiah, Jesus, is revealed. In Luke 2, 1 through 20, we pick up the story with some of these famous characters. And now I even left out Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were the parents of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus, okay? In Luke 2, 1 through 20, though, we have the famous Christmas narrative of Caesar Augustus and Quirinius and their census. Try saying that three times fast. That brought Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Interesting how God orchestrated all this, didn't he? And in a stable where Jesus would be born, in a manger, a cattle feed box, and wrapped in swaddling or poor man's cloths in a cave or a barn. That was a stable for animals to fulfill the several hundred year old prophecy. Then there were the angels and shepherds, which brings me back to what I was going to tell you about. I'm not going to focus on those main characters. I want to focus on the shepherds. Was it the shepherds that were not even supposed to be there? Let's find out. You see, I'm going to entitle this segment right here, The Real Shepherds of Bethlehem. There's a great article by the same name, as I just said, The Real Shepherds of Bethlehem, written by Nick Harris. Now, I linked it in the full article, Christmas Stories article, 11worship.com, so you can check that out. I know that if you look at it, you're going to hear much more than I'm going to tell, and I want to leave that for you, but I'm just going to give you the highlights of it, all right? You'll be blessed if you read it, because you'll see how God's plan unfolded in that very first Christmas. Let me just give you the summary so that we can get to the lessons and glean what we can from those shepherds that were there and saw God in the flesh, saw the babe in the manger, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the shepherds of Bethlehem, here's the summary. Number one, large flocks of sheep near a village or town would have been extremely rare. You know why? Because of the stench. I grew up on a farm. When I was going out with my friends after working a day on a farm or my very rare date, okay, I would have to take about 3 showers just to get the stench of the farm animals off of me. It was everywhere. You can imagine what it would have been like being around them close by. That's why they were out in the fields, really the rural area, far away from the villages and the towns. Secondly, Bethlehem, though, was the one exception. And here's why. This large flock of sheep were the one-year-old lambs, selected and given to, out of Israel, given to the high priest for the annual Passover sacrifice in the temple. You think maybe God was orchestrating something with great symbolism and significance? But there's more. Because this were the high priest's lambs, the priests of the temple were supposed to guard the lambs and the shepherds that were watching over them so nothing would happen to them. But you got to remember this. Literally, the shepherds were watching over the shepherd. I'm sorry, the priests were watching over the shepherds as the shepherds were watching over the sheep. But how could they do that? Because here's why. In order to keep the priest ritually clean, since they could not mingle with the sheep or the shepherds and then enter into the temple, the shepherds would literally, in the fields, the priests would literally go into a place called the Migdal Eder. The Migdal Eder, which was translated the Tower of the Flock. The flock, the Passover lambs. So the priests would climb this tower, the Migdal Eder, and look over and watch over the hills of Bethlehem where these flocks were being tended to by the shepherds. In that way, the shepherds and the sheep were perpetually dirty or defiled or unclean and could never enter the temple or get close to it, but the priests could stay ritually clean, do their job, and never be defiled. I wonder who God might select to be the first to actually enter into his presence, his literal physical presence, and kneel before the newborn baby king. The ritually clean or the perpetually filthy? The priests or the shepherds? And as we know, God's answer and his plan would have been and was truly shocking. As one song says, to think of how it could have been. If Jesus had come as he deserved, there would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. That's from A Strange Way to Save the World by 4 Hymn. Okay, now with this incredible backstory, here's what I want to get to. Again, go read the full article. It's linked on the Christmas Stories article, The Real Shepherds of Bethlehem by Nick Harris. But here are the 4 lessons into what I call the gospel according to the shepherds. See if you can find something there that God's calling you to do. The first one is this. When the angels came to the shepherd, the first thing they had to do was believe. You see, the angels. Now, I imagine if angels showed up in the fashion they did, first the one angel, tell them that unto you is born this day in the city of David, and then a whole choir of angels singing the Hallelujah chorus. I imagine I would have tendency to believe, but I still did not see the baby. I still had to walk in faith. So the first thing they had to do was have the faith to act on it. And here's what they said. They acted. They said, let's go straight to Bethlehem. That's what the angel said. So let's do it. There was no debate, no procrastination. They didn't sleep on it or go to the temple or library to figure out more. They just simply believed, and their faith led to action. The scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's Hebrews 11:6. The angel said, there is peace on earth among people with whom God is pleased. Who is that? It's those who respond to God's gift and his word through faith. Scripture also says, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of works, for it is a gift of God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Faith literally means that you say yes to all that God did through Christ. Yes, He is the Savior of the world. Yes, He came to die for my sins. Yes, through Him I find forgiveness and new life. Yes, I want Christ as my Savior and Lord. If you're not sure, what are you waiting for? Contact us. I want to share that with you. Faith isn't a spectator sport. It's an active embracing of all that God has promised and given us in Christ, which is the second thing that the shepherds teach us. If faith is an action sport, then they had to do something. Number two, they had to obey. The shepherds didn't just talk about what they heard. They acted on it. Faith without works is dead. They responded to what the angels proclaimed by faith, not knowing if what they said they were going to actually find. They hadn't seen the baby yet. And by the way, would you expect the Son of God to come in a feed trough in a filthy stable in poor man's clothes? So if they were going, okay, that's quite a story. Was I just dreaming that? I need to go find out. If there was a baby wrapped in poor man's cloth, swaddling cloth, sounds really better when you say swaddling cloths, right? Lying in a manger, a feed trough for animals in a filthy stable, I got to give some credence to what that angel said. But I'm not going to know unless I go find out. Now, granted, as I said earlier, if we heard from an angel, we might go right away too, just curious and go, was that a dream or something else? But guess what? We have God's Word. How are you responding to that? That's the question. The shepherd set the example. Are you following it? You see, the angel gave them God's Word. We have it as well. What are you going to do with it? We like Christ and Christmas and Christianity and discipleship safe. The sweet baby Jesus asleep on the hay. Well, it's not. And we need to decide whether we're going to obey God's Word, whether it's from angels or from Scripture. And then just as with the shepherds, we can only know and see who He is and know Him as Lord if we walk in obedience. Faith in action, the only real faith. Think about this. From the time they heard from the angel, and then the angels, they walked from the fields of Bethlehem into the city of David, Bethlehem, into the stable, and until that moment, every step of the way they took in faith based only on what they had heard. Not until they completed their journey and arrived at that lowly stable and looked into that manger, entering the filth and the stench of that stable, did their faith become sight. Unless they had walked in faith, they would have never seen the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. The same is true of you and me in our walk of faith. Unless we continue in it, we will not see the King. That's what the shepherds taught us about walking out their belief in faith until they actually saw Him. Third thing we learned from the shepherd, the gospel according to the shepherd. They told others. They heard the gospel. They actually saw the gospel then because of faith. And then what'd they do? They shared it with others. They weren't preachers or missionaries. They simply knew they'd heard and seen the most incredible message. The Savior of the world had come to earth. And they were compelled to share it. We can enjoy all the trappings of Christmas, the gifts and the trees and the lights and Santa Claus and all that. We can enjoy that. That's fun. But if we miss, don't share Jesus, if we fail to speak by our words and our lives, the real meaning of it all, the way the shepherds did, if we neglect to tell others that this child is Savior and Lord, God in the flesh, sent to die on the cross to purchase our own deliverance from sin, death, and Satan, with His royal, divine, human blood, if we neglect to receive and share Christ, then we miss Christmas. The angel said that this is good news of great joy, which will be to all people. His word proclaims the Bible. The Scripture proclaims the same thing today. If we truly believe that He is who He says He is, we've got to share it. We've got to give other people the same joy that we have. And finally, the Bethlehem shepherds teach us this, how to experience God. how to experience holy wonder. The shepherds were overwhelmed at the angel's announcement. They experienced that holy wonder. Is that really from God? What are we going? How can we do the same then? Let me give you just two or three things and you can think of some more. Why don't you stop in the middle of the hustle and bustle and take time to read the Christmas story? Do it by yourself, or do it with your family or with others. Gather your children or family around a nativity each night and focus on one particular player or one event and the role it plays in the story and what we can learn from it, just like we're doing with the shepherds. Check this one out. Wake up early one morning, or several mornings if you like, and find the place to watch the sunrise and meditate on Luke 1, 76 through 79. It's a preliminary to Luke 2, the Christmas story. Listen to it. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, talking about John the Baptist, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun, remember I said, go watch the sunrise, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace. That's holy wonder. Engage in holy wonder. The work of holy wonder is treasuring and pondering that God invaded earth on a dangerous rescue mission. Let's do the same. Let's engage in holy wonder. Engage God himself. He's made it possible to do it. After all, we are the ones he came to rescue. Think about it. The shepherds departed rejoicing in all they'd seen, as everything was exactly as they had been told. Think about that for a minute. They didn't know it was going to be like that until they got there. They were so excited because it was like that they went and told everybody they saw. The same truth the angels gave the shepherds is found in God's word for us to experience him, to experience holy wonder and share it with others exactly as he has told us. That's my prayer for you this Christmas. And as we close, I promised you a top 10 list, right? Okay, I'm stretching it again. It's going to be 20 or 21 because I've got the top 10 classical Christmas songs and the top 10 contemporary Christmas songs, okay? I won't spend a lot of time. I just want to give them to you. Give me some feedback. You like them? You got others? It's hard for me to narrow down, right? I'm a Christmas nut, right? Freakaholic, okay? Top 10 classical Christmas songs. First one, O Holy Night. Second one, many versions of these, okay? But this second one, I'm going to give you one version that I love in particular. Tell me what you think. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Check out Casting Crowns version. It's awesome. Third one, Silent Night. Fourth is O Come All Ye Faithful. Fifth, Angels We Have Heard on High. Sixth, Joy to the World. Seven, O Little Town of Bethlehem, which we've just spent a whole lot of time talking about, right? 8, 9, and 10 are traditional secular Christian songs, but we love them, and they can point us to Christ. They're Christmas. 8 is the Christmas song, you know, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Okay? You can do that one. Or I'll Be Home for Christmas. That's number 9. And then Sleigh Ride and Silver Bells. Mash that up together. It's awesome. See, I snuck another one in there on you. That's the top 10 or 11 classical Christmas songs. Now, how about the top 10 contemporary? I'm going to give you the groups that sing this, or the individuals, so you can check them out specifically, but you can find them elsewhere. My favorite one is Don't Save It All for Christmas Day by Avalon, first group I ever heard sing it. My kids like Rascal Flatts' version, okay? Second one, Strange Way to Save the World, which I just quoted from. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. That's by For Him. Third one, We Are the Reason. We are the reason he gave his life. We are the reason he suffered and died. That's by Avalon as well. Fourth, Your Heart is Where Christmas is Found by Truth. Fifth, The Way He Came by Truth. So I love some of these groups more than others, right? Six, Not That Far from Bethlehem by Point of Grace. Seven, All I Really Want by Stephen Curtis Chapman, and he has adopted 3 children and lost one of them in a tragic accident. Go listen to this song. All I Really Want for Christmas is a Family. It's about a boy in an orphan home writing a letter to Santa Claus. It's powerful. All I Really Want for Stephen Curtis Chapman. Number 8, beautiful song by Selah, Rose of Bethlehem. Check it out. Number 9 is Christmas is All in the Heart by Stephen Curtis Chapman. And number 10 is Tennessee, or as I sing it, Kentucky Christmas by Amy Grant and many others. All right? Listen, check out Love and Lordship for related articles, videos, and podcasts. And be sure to sign up for our weekly Love and Lordship newsletter. You can get the rest of the Christmas series and many other posts that will help you in your walk with the Lord and with others. Our prayer at Love and Lordship is that no matter what you've faced in your life and related to Christmas and the holidays, that you will come to know the love, joy, peace, and the life that is found only in the Christ of Christmas. We're here to help you live joyfully and have fulfilling relationships in the love and lordship of Jesus Christ. There's no charge for the conversations or for the counseling or the mentoring that we provide. If you need help or think you have nowhere else to turn, give us a call. Email me, loveandlordship@gmail.com. Text me, 859-229-6504. Be glad to talk with you. Love and Lordship exists to point people to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and make that evident in their life and relationships for His kingdom and glory. We are completely supported by donations, and year-end is huge for us as it is for many ministries. So if you've been blessed by these messages, share it with others. And please consider praying and possibly supporting us with a year-end gift one time, regular monthly, semi-annual, or annual gifts. You're going to help us reach many more, many of them in prison, in addiction, in brokenness. And we are. The Lord is doing great things. We want to make Him more fully known and help them to do the same in their life, family, marriage, church, and community. Thank you. Have a very Merry Christmas in Christ, and God bless.
We hope you've been encouraged, challenged, and blessed by today's message from Greg and Love and Lordship. Join us again next week as Greg shares more about the love and lordship of Jesus.